Welcome to Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, teaching you how to manage your mind so that you can create relationships you love. And now, here's your host, certified relationship coach and expert in all things love, friendship and mind drama, Rebecca Orr.
Hi guys, how is everybody doing this week? Okay, so diving straight in, this week I wanted to focus on the concept of lovability and our thoughts about ourselves and our relationship to ourselves, which is a really huge, important topic, as you can imagine. So the concept of lovability that I'm going to be sharing with you today is one that I was taught by my teacher, Brooke Castillo, who is amazing. So you should definitely go and check her out if you've never heard of her. She's on Instagram. She has an amazing podcast called the Life Coach School podcast, which is where I trained. So definitely go check her out. But it's the idea that the love that someone feels for us isn't about us at all. And the love we feel for them isn't actually about them. What? What do you mean? I can imagine you asking. Well, I'll tell you. So love is an emotion in our bodies created by our thoughts. So the love I feel for my partner, for example, is created by my thoughts about her. Notice how I didn't say it's created by her. It's created by my thoughts about her. Not her innate worth or value or how lovable she intrinsically is. It's created by what I think, my thoughts about her. That's what generates the love I feel in my body. How do I know that? Well, because there are people who have met my partner, even been in relationships with my partner, who haven't had the same feelings of love for her. So if her innate worth and value and who she was as a person and her lovability was what created the love that all of us felt for her, we'd have all met her and felt the exact same way. We'd have all had the exact same emotion of love, right? But we don't, because it's our own individual unique thoughts about her that create either love or like or dislike and so on. So really consider that first premise, because that's kind of the whole premise that this podcast is based around. So really just think about that for a second, that the love you feel for others is created by your thoughts about them, not by what they do or what they say. And we'll come on to talk about this in a little bit about how sometimes people can do terrible things and we can still love them, because our love isn't created by them or what they do. It's created by our thoughts about them. And their love for you is created by their thoughts about you, not you. Why is this an important distinction? Well, because it means how lovable someone finds you isn't a reflection of you. It's a reflection of their ability to think loving thoughts about you. And I'll say that again because it's so, so important. How lovable someone finds you isn't a reflection of you and how lovable you are. It's a reflection of their ability, their love ability, to think loving thoughts about you. And we each exist as a human that other humans may or may not have the ability to feel love for, which means we are actually all 100% lovable. As in, we are all people that someone out there could feel love towards. So we are love-able. It's very strange when we're like breaking up this word. But think about the people that you don't like very much, that you certainly don't love. That isn't a reflection of their innate lovableness. It's a reflection of your brain's ability to think thoughts that generate love for them. Because I bet even the people that you really don't like, they have people in their life whose brains do create love for them. They like them a lot. They love them. Which isn't me suggesting that we should change our thoughts and love everyone. I mean, we totally can do, and that would be a beautiful thing. But what I'm wanting to get across here is that the love that any human feels for another human being isn't down to the object of the love. isn't down to the person that is being loved. It's down to the person doing the loving. And right now, if you don't find yourself very lovable, that's not because you're not. That's a reflection of your current ability to think thoughts about yourself that create love, to love yourself for who you are, which is something that you can totally choose to work on and increase at any time by how you choose to think about yourself. Another important thing to consider is we don't feel anybody else's love for us, and they don't feel ours. So regardless of what Adele says, we cannot make anyone feel our love. Sure, we can act in loving ways that other people then have nice thoughts about that create a loving feeling for them. So we can buy our partners flowers and they might have the thought, that's so kind that they thought of me, and then feel happy. That's beautiful. But they still aren't feeling the impact of our loving thoughts. They're feeling the impact of their own thoughts about our actions. I feel like everyone's head is probably spinning right now, but really try and stay with me on this. So when I think loving thoughts about you, I feel the emotion of love in my body. And when you think loving thoughts about me or about something I've done, maybe a podcast or a post I've done, I don't know, you then feel the emotion of love or like or gratitude, whatever it is that you're creating, in your body. You don't feel the impact of my thoughts and I don't feel the emotional impact of your thoughts. They are separate. And so sometimes we talk about whether people deserve our love, as if that's a real thing, that someone can either deserve or not deserve our love. But as we just said, our love isn't something they even feel. It's something we get to feel and experience based on how we think about them. It's a positive emotion that we get to enjoy. It's a gift to us. Think about that. Like, the love that you feel for the other humans in your life isn't a gift to them, it's a gift to you. So think about that in terms of whether you think you deserve love. Because I hear people say this often, that they don't deserve love. But what if you didn't deserve or not deserve love? What if deserving someone's love wasn't even a thing? It wasn't even a question. And the truth was that some people would be able to have thoughts about you that felt good to them and created feelings of love for them, which was just a nice gift for them to enjoy. And others wouldn't. Loving you is a gift to them, because it's a positive experience that they get to have in their bodies. You don't experience it. You only experience the positive experience of your own thoughts. And if you think about whether you deserve someone's love, well, the alternative is that maybe they would have thoughts about you that create painful emotions for them, which would not feel great for them, would not be a great experience for them. So somebody loving you is actually an amazing thing for them. And this is why when people come to me for coaching, we manage to drastically improve their relationships, not by changing the other people and making them behave differently, but by working on their thoughts about the other people and about their relationships, because it's our own thoughts that are creating our entire emotional experience. Okay, if your brain is hurting right now, that's okay. This is not an easy concept and is so different to the way we're taught to think about love. If you think about all the movies you've ever watched, all the songs you listen to, they're all talking about how people make you feel different emotions and make you feel their love. But we want to really, really break this down in ways we can understand and really get our heads around the idea that we are only ever feeling the emotional impact of our own thoughts. Which is such a powerful thing when you think about it, because it means that we are actually more in control than we give ourselves credit for. So if you think about how right now you might be withholding love from yourself, really just consider that for a moment. You're actually choosing to not enjoy the experience of loving. By choosing to not love yourself, you're missing out on enjoying the vibration and the feeling of love in your body for you. And that's because of how you're choosing to think about yourself. You here being the object of your love, the thing that you are thinking loving thoughts about. So what makes you withhold love from yourself? What are the reasons you believe you shouldn't feel love for you? For some of us, it's the way we look, or the amount of money we make, or it's our insecurities. We think we can't love ourselves because sometimes we feel anxious or shy or have self-doubt. We can't love ourselves until we become more confident. Maybe you're single and you subconsciously believe that you can't love yourself until you're in a relationship, and then you'd be lovable. Maybe you think you're pretty okay most of the time, but then if you make a mistake, you then choose to withhold love from yourself. Or maybe you base how much you love yourself on the ability others have to love you. So if your partner rejects you, or someone says something unkind to you, you maybe subconsciously make it mean that you're not good enough or worthy enough, and therefore withhold love from yourself. And this is something I see so often, and something we really need to challenge. When someone rejects you or behaves in a way you don't like, that is created by their own brain. We know this. You definitely know this if you've listened to this podcast regularly, that our actions are driven by the way we feel, and our feelings are created by our thoughts. So yours and everybody else's actions are created by their thoughts. Your actions are created by your thoughts. Their actions are created by their thoughts. So you have zero control over anybody else's thinking. You don't control what they think about you, what they think about loyalty, what they think about other people, or how they decide to treat you. You have no control over that. But for some reason, when other people reject us or behave in ways we don't like, our brains make it mean that we are to blame. We take credit for their emotion and for their thinking and their action. We decide that their action is a reflection of our lovability. But remember, you are 100% lovable, and someone else's love for you is created by their ability to love you. Their like for you, whether they like you or not, is created by their brain's ability to create like for you, positive emotion for you. Their hate for you is created by their brain's ability to create hate for you. You do not create their thoughts, feelings, or actions. I remember I used to have the thought, if I was likable, then they'd like me. I remember saying this to a coach once, that, you know, if I was a likable person, why wouldn't this person like me and want to be my friend and hang out with me? And my thought error was pointed out to me by the coach, that my premise was that if I was likable, everyone would like me. When in reality, I exist as a human, and some other humans will have the ability to think thoughts about me that generate love or like. And others won't have thoughts like that. Some people will think I'm fun and interesting and want to talk to me and be friends with me. Others will think I'm boring or not their cup of tea or too loud or too quiet and not what they want to hang out with. Me as a person is just a neutral circumstance that a whole bunch of people could have different thoughts about. Some creating love, like, indifference, irritation. And I don't control any of that. Because if it were me controlling it, if I was responsible for what everyone else thought and felt about me, everyone would think and feel the same. And I really want you to think about that and how that is true for you as well. That if your innate worth and value controlled how other people thought and felt about you, we would all think and feel the same way. Just like your friends and partners. I bet you know of people who don't like one of your friends very much, or who maybe don't really get on with your partner. Does that mean that they're unlikable? That your partner or friend is inherently unworthy and not likable or lovable? No, it's just a reflection of the person's brain doing the thinking about them. It's about the person and their thoughts and their emotions, nothing to do with your partner or friend. Another great question to ask yourself is, am I able to feel love for myself when I've made a mistake? Or when I've done something I don't like? Really think about that for a minute. If the answer is no, ask yourself why. Why are you choosing to not love yourself in those moments? What do you make making a mistake mean about you? and why? And whatever it is, did you know that that was optional? Think about the last time someone you loved made a mistake. Maybe your children or your best friend or your partner or your niece or nephew. Consider what you made it mean about them. Did you make it mean they were unworthy of love? That they weren't lovable? Not worthy of compassion or kindness or forgiveness? If the answer is no, I want you to notice here that while it's a subconscious choice, it's still a choice. It's so important to recognize our choices here. We need to bring awareness to our subconscious decision to withhold love from ourselves so that we can consciously choose to do the opposite. We have to consciously choose to love ourselves. A way that often helps my clients is to imagine their younger self. Sometimes I encourage them to print off a picture of themselves as a child and put it somewhere. And whenever they're being mean to themselves or saying nasty things to themselves, I tell them to imagine saying those things to that child. Because we would never withhold love from that young version of us, from that child in that photo, yet we withhold it from our adult selves all the time. And there really is no such thing as being hard to love. And I want you to think about that, because maybe you've described someone as being hard to love in the past. But really think about that, that the people we find hard to love, even if it's ourselves, are people that we have the most negative thoughts about. But our ability to love them is a reflection of our own minds and our own thinking. It's not about their innate lovability. Remember, everyone's lovability is 100%. And how much we love them is about our ability to think loving thoughts about them. And this is going to sound very, very dark, but I always think of serial killers or people who have done awful, awful things and their parents who openly still say that they love them. And I'm currently thinking of Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm not sure if any of you watched the show on Netflix about him. I think it was on Netflix anyway. It didn't come out that long ago. It's like the dramatized Netflix show about him. But in that, his dad felt a lot of love for his son and openly said that he still loved him. Even after finding out all of these terrible things that he did, terrible, terrible acts. And that love that his dad felt for him was not a reflection of Jeffrey Dahmer. The love his dad felt was a reflection of his brain's capacity to still generate and create love for his son. Even knowing what he knows about him, it was about his dad's love ability, his ability to love. Really think about that for a minute. Now, that's not me suggesting we should all focus our thought work on creating love for serial killers. That is not what I am propositioning here. I mean, you totally can if you really are called to do that, but I suggest that there's a better use of your thought work time, which would actually be increasing your ability to think loving thoughts about yourself and the people around you. Because for a lot of you, you'll have decided that you will only love yourself when something happens. When you start making more money, when you stop being so reactive, when you lose the weight, when you get married, when you have a busier social life or more friends, then you'll decide that you can love yourself. And I want to offer you that one, that is bullshit, because let's face it, you could get all those things and you probably know that your brain would still say horrible things to you. Probably still tell you that it wasn't enough in some way. You didn't have enough money, or that you should have got the money faster, or that you lost the weight, but now your skin isn't tight enough, or now your face isn't okay, or you know, your brain would still have mean things to say about you. And two, telling ourselves that we will only love ourselves when something else happens is kind of lazy. And I'll tell you why. Because your ability to love you doesn't only kick in when certain circumstances align. Your brain's capacity to generate love for you isn't conditional on anything outside of you. Your capacity to love you doesn't only happen when you weigh a certain amount, or when you're married, or when you have a certain number of friends, or when your face looks a certain way, or when you start making a certain amount of money. None of those things have any impact on your brain's capacity to create love for you. You are able to create that love for you today. and you're just choosing not to. And I know it doesn't feel like a choice. I understand that. It feels just the most natural thing in the world to dislike ourselves and be horrible to ourselves or to be mean to ourselves. But again, I want to keep bringing us back to the idea that we can choose to change that. We want to know that this is a choice. And like I said, if you aren't intentionally creating love for you now and you're creating a lot of shame and judgment towards yourself, even if you achieve those external circumstances, the weight loss, the marriage, the money, the promotion, whatever it is, your brain's default setting will still be shame and judgment. Your brain won't suddenly start producing loving thoughts for you just because you've changed something externally, because brains work through repetition. So what we think the most becomes our default ways of thinking. And if you need more of an incentive to stretch your self-love muscle and make this a priority, here's another great one. If you grow and strengthen your capacity to love you, your love ability, your ability to love you, as the messy, imperfect human that you are, your capacity to love others will also increase. Because it's like a muscle. Your ability to love, if that expands for you, you expand that for everyone. Your ability to love others will increase too. So think about the coldest, most unloving humans on this planet. Their ability to love is not very high. They don't have strong capability in that area. So you can imagine the kind of thoughts that they must think about themselves. If they're that unloving and cold to others, their thoughts about themselves probably aren't so loving either. Even those who you think love themselves and maybe act a little cocky and arrogant, that isn't love. That's actually the opposite. When we outwardly act like we're better than others, it's because inside we're actually feeling fear of the opposite. So we're putting others down to try to pull ourselves up. That is not the same here. That is not love. That is actually a love deficiency. And so loving yourself more is how you will also strengthen your capacity to love all the other messy, imperfect humans in the world too. Also think about how your unloving relationship with yourself currently impacts your life. Does it stop you from going after the things you really want? Does it make you constantly interpret everything as rejection and act jealous and insecure in the relationship? Do you feel like you're not really present and enjoying your relationships a lot of the time because you're so overwhelmed with negative thoughts about you? Imagine how differently you'd be able to feel and show up in your life if you actually liked yourself or even loved yourself. How would your day-to-day experience be different? How would you show up differently as a friend or a partner, as a coworker, son or daughter? It's rare that we can say that doing something will have an impact on every single area of our life. That's quite a big claim to make. But I'm saying it. Working on your thoughts about yourself really will have a positive impact on every single area of your life. And I challenge you to tell me an area where thinking more lovingly about yourself won't help. Come and tell me on Instagram if you can think of one. I bet you can't. So how can we increase the love we feel for ourselves? Well, like we said, love is an emotion created by our thoughts. So you guessed it, we have to change our thinking. So the first thing I want you to do is shine a light on how and where you're currently not loving yourself. So you can do this through a thought download, which is basically where we just get all our thoughts out of our brains and onto a page in front of us. Think of it like cleaning out a junk drawer. We need to get all the stuff out. We need to see what's inside. We need to lay it all out and see what's useful and what's not. So grab a pen and paper and answer some of these questions. And feel free to pause this podcast as maybe you jot the questions down. What are your thoughts about you? What do you like about yourself? And what don't you like about yourself? What are the moments where you feel the least loving towards yourself? What do you think about how lovable you are? What do you think about yourself compared to other people? And what are the reasons you can think of to not love yourself? And really come face to face with these answers, and they might be quite shocking to you. You may have been totally unaware of the mean judgments and opinions you have about yourself. Maybe you totally were aware of how mean you are to yourself. But sometimes the thoughts that we have about ourselves aren't even that glaringly bad. Maybe you wrote down, "My body could be better." That doesn't sound too mean, does it? It's not terrible, could be better. But really think about the feeling that that thought generates. When you think, "My body could be better," do you feel love and acceptance and kindness and compassion for yourself? Or do you feel a little bit dismissive, cold, judgmental, detached? Would you ever go up to a loved one and say, "Your body could be better"? Probably not. But think about that. These are the kinds of things you're saying to yourself. Not very loving things. In both my one-on-one and my group coaching program, I always have my clients separate out the facts of themselves, of the situation, from their thoughts about those things. So the facts of themselves or the situation from the mean judgment or the narrative they have about it. So the fact may be that you weigh X amount on the scales. Your thought about that fact might be, "I'm unattractive." Seeing that these are two different things is so important because while we can't instantly change the weight on the scale, your decision to think that that means you're unattractive is totally optional. Your decision to not love yourself because of that fact is totally optional. So when thinking about yourself, consider, what are the very neutral facts about me that I'm basing these thoughts on? Then I want you to consider, what would be a more neutral way to think here? Because sometimes jumping from not liking ourselves to loving ourselves is too much of a reach. So neutral is a good next step. So what would be a more neutral way to think about yourself here? What would be a thought that would feel even slightly better? Even that thought, "My body could be better," that's a totally optional thought. As we know, all thoughts are optional. We could argue it's totally a true thought. Everyone's body could be better. We could argue that's totally true. Your body probably could be better. Mine could be better. But choosing to have that as your primary thought about your body is totally optional. Another option might be, "I love how my body allows me to run around with my kids." Or, "My body lets me go and do things and travel and see the world." Notice how your body is staying the same, but your decision about how you think about it is totally up to you and can create such a different emotional experience of it. You may need to question and poke holes in your unloving thoughts about yourself a little before you're able to come up with more neutral or even more loving thoughts. For example, if you just wrote down, "I'm not fun or interesting," maybe that was one of your reasons for not loving you. Really get curious about that for a minute. Poke holes in that statement. Why are you choosing to believe that? What are you basing that on? How would you even know if you were fun or interesting? How would anyone know that? Like, how do we decide that? How is it possible that that statement isn't true? In what ways could we argue that you are fun and that you are interesting? Remember, fun and interesting are totally made up and subjective. There's literally no board of directors that we can go to give us a certificate of approval that certifies you as fun or interesting. It's totally made up. You get to think anything you want about yourself. So really get curious about why you're choosing to think this and what else could be an option here. And we call this technique ladder thoughts. And I teach you all about this in one-on-one coaching or in my group coaching program, where we go from negative thinking, from negative thoughts, to more neutral thoughts, instead of jumping to a super, super positive one that we're just nowhere near ready for. So an option here for this example about being fun or interesting might be, "It's possible there are some interesting things about me." Or, "I'm open to believing that some people might find me fun to be around." Or, "Sometimes I can be fun." So we're not jumping from negative to super duper positive because your brain may not be ready to believe that. And when you're doing this work, you need to find thoughts that you can believe right now that do create a shift in your emotions. because in order for a new thought to have any emotional impact, you have to actually believe it. That's why affirmations often don't work for people, because they're trying to believe thoughts and statements. They're repeating these phrases to themselves that they do not believe one bit. So with all of this, just really check in on how you feel when you think the thought, whether it feels true when you think it. If right now you believe that you're not as talented as other people, ask yourself, why am I choosing to tell myself that? How might that not be true? What else could be true here? For example, can you believe that you have some talents to offer? What might be a more neutral thought that you could go to? And what might even be a more compassionate or loving thought here? Think back to that picture of you as a child. Would you say this thought to them? What thoughts might you offer to a friend who is having these mean thoughts about themselves? Increasing your ability to love yourself is all about the thoughts you choose on purpose. And I'm going to say that again because it's really important to understand that increasing your ability to love yourself is all about the thoughts you choose on purpose. So if you're wanting to increase your self-love and you're not trying to change your thoughts about yourself, you are not going to get anywhere. And that's really important, and that might sound harsh, but if you are trying to increase your self-love and you are doing it by buying yourself new clothes or losing weight or going out there and trying to date someone and find someone else to love you, I'm not saying we shouldn't, you know, do all those things and treat ourselves new clothes, of course, that's lovely, but doing those things won't increase the love you have for yourself if your thoughts don't change. So you have to change your thoughts about you to create a different emotion about yourself. It's the only way you can do this. So this is why doing these exercises and spending time really looking at what your current thoughts are about you, challenging them and choosing new ones, even if they are only small neutral steps in the right direction through the ladder thoughts, is so, so important. And, you know, these more loving, neutral thoughts, they're how we slowly build that muscle of loving ourselves and thinking about ourselves in a different way. And a good question to ask yourself is, how can I increase my ability to love my imperfections? We all are imperfect, flawed humans, but don't be lazy and use that as a reason to withhold love from yourself. Right now, you love a lot of other imperfect, flawed humans. I bet your parents are imperfect and flawed, your partner, your friends. You manage to love them. So why are you choosing to not love you? And even if you begin loving yourself despite of your imperfections, I want to offer that you can even try to love yourself because of them. You can love yourself for being imperfect and flawed, not in spite of it. And knowing that that's exactly the way you're supposed to be because you're a human being on this planet. Okay, guys, that's all I've got for you today. Can I ask you to do a little something for me? Could you go ahead and give this podcast a rating on whatever platform you're listening from? This is how I can keep reaching more people and really spreading the word of this work. And then also maybe send it to a friend who you think really needs to work on their self-love and their positive thoughts about themselves. Go and share it with them. And finally, if you're listening to this and really resonating with the way I talk about mind management and relationships, I have two freebies that I'd really love to offer you. The first is a 25-minute video training teaching you 5 steps for when you're spiraling. And the second is a self-esteem building kit, talking you through in more detail this technique of changing our thoughts to create more love and self-esteem. So I'm going to drop the links to both of those things in the show notes of this episode. So go back to the show notes and find them there. And yeah, come to Instagram and let me know how you find them. I would love to hear from you. Okay, guys, that is all from me. I hope you have an amazing rest of the week and I will see you all next time. Bye.
If you're loving this podcast, you can also hang out with Rebecca on Instagram and TikTok at Rebecca Orr Coaching. Don't forget to sign up to her email list for exclusive freebies and for more information on her one-to-one and group coaching programs.